Good to see you this morning, and we have those who are visiting, and we're glad that you're here. We appreciate your presence, and we hope that you'll come back again, and it's certainly good to be able to spend some time in the study of God's Word. I appreciate Lance leading Revive Us again before the sermon and not after the sermon. I've always felt that it was best to be sung before the sermon. And we do need revival, and we need building up and encouragement, and I hope that we can have that this morning from our lesson. There are uncertainties in our life from time to time, and maybe if not in our life, we know that in the lives of others. So one day a person has a job, and at the end of the day, HR comes around or sends them an email and says, "You don't have a job." One day, you have a house down in Florida, and then the hurricane comes, and the next day, you don't have a house. One day, you're married. The next day, someone serves you with divorce papers. One day, you're financially well off. The next day, you're not. One day, you're healthy. The next day, you find out you have some sort of serious illness. There are people who face uncertainties all the time. Things that they don't know about, things that they're not planning for, things that completely turn and change their life. And in a world of uncertainties and insecurities, I wanted us to remind ourselves this morning from God's Word that we have things that are sure and that are certain. And so for just a moment this morning, I want to speak about some sure things. Wouldn't it be nice in our life if we could always bank on and count on the secure and the sure things of life? And as a faithful Christian, we can. And that's an encouraging thing. People may experience uncertainties with their job and with their marriage and with their house and with their education, and with a host of other things. Various relationships. One day I've got a boyfriend or a girlfriend, the next day I don't. It happens all the time with relationships and other kinds of things. One day we have something, the next day we don't. But we've got to learn that we can be a faithful Christian, and in our life we can have some sure things. Things that are secure, that do not change. Things that are certain. And it helps us to keep living the faithful Christian life. So this morning I want to talk about some sure things. In our scripture reading in Matthew chapter 27, you may have noticed that upon the death of Jesus, when his body is laid in the tomb, his enemies do not want him coming out of the tomb. And you may have noticed in the scripture reading there at the end of Matthew chapter 27, three times Pilate and these Jews talk about, go make the tomb sure. Go make it secure. Three times in that text. Make it as sure as you can. Underscore that in your Bible. You go make that as sure as you can. Did it work? Now, just make sure that it's closed and, you know, put a guard there. Put a rope around the stone and put a seal on it. Boy, nobody's getting out of this place. You just go make that as sure as you can. Then you read chapter 28, 1 and following. There's an earthquake. And there's an angel who says, he is not here. He's risen. Oh, it didn't work. Man tries to make things sure and secure, but you're not going to override God. It doesn't matter how strong you are. It doesn't matter how many guards you put in front of the tomb. It doesn't matter how much you seal that thing up. It doesn't matter how sure you make it. You're not going to bypass or overrun or go against God's power. So, brethren, when it comes to the things of man, there will be insecure situations. That's the nature of it. Part of it has to do with sin in the lives of people. That's why insecurities come along. Part of it has to do with bad behavior, or part of it might have to do just simply with natural disasters, and like hurricanes and floods and tornadoes and wildfires. We have a house one day, and then we're living in the Palisades out in California, and the next day we don't have a house. It could be something natural. It could be man-made. It could be a host of things. But when you're talking about things of this life, there's going to be a lot of insecurities and unsureties. But with regard to the things of God, we have some sure things. Turn with me to Hosea chapter 6 and verse 3, and let's begin this morning looking briefly at some sure things. Hosea chapter 6 and verse 3, Hosea is calling God's people of Israel in the north to come back before they go into captivity. Unfortunately, many of them did not listen to the preaching of Hosea. In this little section of Hosea chapter 6, he's calling the people to come and return to the Lord. And we find in Hosea chapter 6 and verse 3, let us know, let us follow on to know Jehovah. His going forth is sure as the morning, and he will come unto us as the rains and as the latter rain that waters the earth. His going forth is sure as the morning. Let me ask you this. Did you see the sun come up this morning? Do you see the sun now? When you get up each day, do you see the morning? Every day you do. There's not one day that you don't see a morning. Even if it's overcast, you know that it's morning. And God is as secure as the morning. One of the sure things that we need to understand is God Himself. And I would argue from chapter 6 and verse 3 that not only is God as sure as the morning, but it's the very reason why we have the morning. Natural law is tied to the lawgiver. We have natural law. We have the rotation of the earth on its axis, which gives us morning and evening. And just like that natural law is never broken, and it will never be broken until the end of time, that consistent, constant, sure natural law that gives us the rotation of the earth, that is the same as God who gave it. Just as sure as you have things like gravity and the rotation of the earth and other natural laws, the water cycle and other things, the lawgiver who gave it is constant. The natural law is constant because the lawgiver who gave that and who made that law is constant. God, His going forth is as sure as the morning. So when we go to Him in prayer, and when we serve Him, and when we do His will, we can count on Him. He's not just constantly waffling and changing. He's a constant force in our life, and needs to be a constant force, because His character, Malachi 3:6, I change not. It's because His constant character. You're going to have announcements in your life, brethren, where on one day you have one thing, and then the next day you find out something completely different. You're going to have that in life, but you're not going to have that with God. His going forth is as sure as the morning. The right things that He wants for us in life will always be the same. According to the New Testament teaching, anything negative or judgment-wise will always be the same. His blessings, His judgments, positive things, negative things, they're always going to be a constant in our life. We don't read our Bible one day and then we find out, well, the next day God is actually going to do something different with me. So we've got to keep that in mind. We have a constant. When God spoke, let there be light, at the very beginning of time, and He set in motion natural laws that have not wavered one bit in thousands of years, that lawgiver is the same. He is that same constant and sure force in our life. He's not going anywhere. You're not going to wake up one morning, well, there's no God today. You're not going to wake up one morning and God is acting like a human whereas before he never did that. There's no change with him. Turn with me to James chapter 1. We will probably talk about this again this evening. If you can come back, I would encourage you to come back. We are finishing up our study of Jeremiah. In so many places in the book of Jeremiah, God's people worshiped idols. And I want to talk tonight about why people worship idols, even to this day. It's a good lesson for us today. I would encourage you to hear that. But in James chapter 1 and verse 17, James, speaking of our Heavenly Father, God, there is no variation, neither shadow or change that is cast by turning, some versions say, by changing. There's no variation. There's no change with God. Let's obey Him. Let's do His will, because we can count on Him each and every day. And because God is sure and certain, then of course His Word is as well. Turn with me to Psalm 19 and verse 7. When God makes a covenant, it is sure and steadfast. He did that with Old Testament Israel, and then He gave us a new covenant in the law of Christ. And when God gives us His Word, it does not change. It is sure. Man's word changes all the time. I'm sure you've had acquaintance with individuals who have told you one thing, and then some time goes by, and then they tell you something different. God's not going to do that. With regard to the great psalm about the Word of God that we sing in our songbook, the law of Jehovah is perfect or complete, restoring the soul. The testimony of Jehovah is sure, making wise the simple. You can plant your feet on the truth and the veracity and the wisdom of the Word of God. And when we're having issues in our life and we go to the Word of God for help with different kinds of things in our life, you can be sure that the Word that is given to you is going to help you. You're not standing on shifting sands when you stand on the Word of God. You're not trying to stand out on some ice with slippery shoes. The testimony of Jehovah is sure. That's why the next part of the verse is connected with it, making wise. God's Word is certain and secure, and that's where our wisdom comes from. You get wisdom from man, you're going to be led down the wrong path, and it will not give you a secure marriage or family. It will not give you a secure personal life to listen to the ideologies of man. Because His Word is secure and sure and certain, that is what can make us wise, and it's what is best for us. Turn with me to Psalm 93 and verse 5. God's Word is not going anywhere. It abides forever. Psalm 93 and verse 5. Thy testimonies are very sure. Holiness becomes thy house, O Jehovah, forevermore. And Psalm 111, verses 7 and 8. Psalm 111, verses 7 and 8. The works of His hands are truth and justice. All His precepts are sure. They are established forever and ever. They are done in truth and uprightness. But why is that? Why is that the case? Well, when you consider God's Word, it is always built upon the truth. It is always built upon eyewitness testimony and truth. Turn with me to 2 Peter chapter 1, where Peter says that we have the Word of prophecy made more sure. But let's look at the context. What makes the Word of prophecy more sure? What is it that makes it that? Back up to 2 Peter chapter 1 and start reading. As you go down through the text, start reading in verse 16, where Peter talks about himself and the other apostles. We did not follow cunningly devised fables when were made known unto you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of His majesty. And then verse 17 talks about the transfiguration of Jesus on the mount. We were there. We saw it. And then he says in verse 19, we have the word of prophecy made more sure. Why is it sure? Because it comes from people who were there. And whether you're talking about Old Testament times or Peter in the New Testament, we're talking about people who were there. And there are events in our life going back in American history. I was not born when JFK was shot. I was not born yet. Some of you were. Some of you maybe remember that very day. I wasn't even born yet. I rely upon what people saw who were there. And then you go back farther in history, and the Civil War, and you go back to Abraham Lincoln, and you go back to George Washington crossing the Delaware. We weren't there, but we appreciate people telling us about what happened because they were there and they recorded it. And you can go all the way back to Peter, and you can go beyond into the Old Testament. This is not a book that is uncertain. Peter said, we didn't follow cunningly devised fables. Trickery, things that are made up. There are other books, there are other religious books that people base their lives on that do come from cunningly devised fables. The Bible is not one of those. And so we have this word of prophecy made more sure because of the nature of it. We're about to start the book of Acts here at Warfield Boulevard. And Luke, you can turn to Luke chapter 1 in the first few verses. Luke writes Luke, and he writes the book of Acts. And in Luke 1, 1 through 4, he says that this was done carefully. This was done based upon things that people saw. And a careful record was made of the life of Jesus based upon what people saw and witnessed. So when you open your Bible and you plant your life on God's Word, it is a sure footing. And our young people need that sure footing in this world of theirs that is constantly chaotic. They need that sure footing. We need it in our lives, and our children and our grandchildren need it in theirs. You cannot plant your feet on a sure footing of social media. Really? As shifting as that is, as constantly changing as that is, no. We place our feet squarely on the sure Word of God. Jesus, of course, is sure. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 7 and verse 22. When we come to Jesus, because He's God, we have a surety in Jesus. Speaking of Jesus and His death, by so much also has Jesus become the surety, the security of a better covenant. Verse 23, and they indeed have been made priests many in number because by the death they were hindered from continuing, but He, because He abides forever. That's why Jesus is sure and a security. He's not transient. He abides forever. Brethren and friends, Jesus is God in the flesh, John 1 and verse 1. He's unchanging. He abides forever. And the Hebrew writer makes the argument in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 8 that He is the same today, yesterday, and forever. The Hebrew writer is talking about His character and His nature. Like God, we can place our lives on Jesus Christ. What He wants for us does not change. We've got to raise our children to be Christians and our grandchildren to be Christians and to follow Jesus Christ. They're planning their life on an individual who is certain and secure. Turn with me to Luke chapter 6 when Jesus finishes the Sermon on the Mount. Look at Luke's version of that, Luke's account of that, with regard to the well-known man who built his house on the sand. Then there's the man who builds his house on the rock. And Jesus says, everyone who hears the word of mine and does it is like a man, Luke 6:48, a man who digged deep and went and laid a foundation upon the rock. He digged deep. Get on down there. And Jesus said, if you hear my words and do it, it's like a man who digs deep and lays the foundation of your life on the rock of Jesus. But you gotta dig deep. You gotta dig deeper than human tradition. You gotta dig deeper than feelings and what I think and feel. You gotta dig deeper than cultural society and what you see on your phone. You've got to dig deeper than what your friends are saying. You've got to dig deeper than what you hear at school. And we get on down there and we base our life on that foundation of Jesus. He is sure. We'll talk about that some more in just a minute. The Christian's salvation from sin is sure. Turn with me to Acts chapter 13. What a surety and a blessing it is to always have forgiveness of sins. Anytime we need that, it is available. Anybody who needs to become a Christian this morning or at any other time, that sure promise is always there. It doesn't matter what time of the day it is. As we learn from Acts chapter 16, it could be in the same hour of the night. It doesn't matter when it is. That promise of salvation is secure. In Acts chapter 13, when Paul is preaching in Antioch, he's preaching about how the forgiveness of sins is in Jesus Christ. And look at verse 36. Acts 13:36, for David, after he had in his own generation served the counsel of God, fell asleep and was laid upon his fathers and saw corruption. So he's talking about how that David was not raised from the dead, but he whom God raised up saw no corruption. Okay, so Paul gets into this little section about the resurrection of Christ. But look at verse 34. As concerning that he, Jesus, raised him up from the dead. As concerning that he, God, raised him, Jesus, up from the dead, no more to return to corruption, he has spoken on this wise. And then a quotation from Isaiah 55:3. I will give you the holy and sure blessings of David. The holy and sure blessings of David is a fulfillment of Isaiah 55:3, which is a fulfillment of 2 Samuel 7, where God promised to David that he would have a son, not his immediate son Solomon, but down the road he would have a son who would be the Messiah and sit on his throne and bless the world by sitting on the throne of David. Not a literal throne, but Luke chapter 1, he would sit on the throne of David. He would rule and reign as a saving king. And Paul says here that Jesus is the fulfillment of that blessing or mercy that was promised to David. And it's called the holy and sure blessing. Now, why is that? In this context, look at how many times Peter brings up the resurrection of Jesus. Come back with me to Acts chapter 13 and verse 30. After talking about Jesus dying on the cross and being put in a tomb, verse 29, look at verse 30, and I want you to count in your Bible how many times you read the word raised up. Count how many times Paul brings this up. Verse 30. But God raised him up, number one, from the dead. And he gave him, and he was seen for many days of them that came up from Galilee to Jerusalem, who now are his witnesses unto the people. And we bring you good tidings of the promise made unto the fathers. That starts with Abraham, and it comes all the way down to David, that God has fulfilled the same unto our children in that he raised up Jesus, number two, as also it is written in the second Psalm. Thou art my son, this day I have begotten thee. And as concerning that he raised him up, number three, from the dead, no more to return to corruption, he has spoken on this wise, I will give you the holy and sure blessings of David. because he is also in another psalm, thou wilt not give thy Holy One to see corruption. Psalm 16:10. For David, after he had in his own generation served the counsel of God, fell asleep and was laid unto his fathers and saw corruption. But he who God raised up, number four, saw no corruption. Be it known unto you, therefore. Look at that. I'm telling you, God raised him up, God raised him up, God raised him up, God raised him up. And there's witnesses, eyewitnesses to that. Therefore, brethren, that through this man is proclaimed unto you remission of sins, and by him everyone that believes is justified from all things which he could not be justified by the law of Moses. There is forgiveness of sins through this man. Why? Because this is what I promised David, and it's sure, and it's coming to pass now in the resurrected Jesus. You can always be forgiven of sins, always. You might need to come and be baptized into Christ. As an erring child of God, you might need to come back to Christ. But the sure blessings of David are always there for you. The Christian's hope is sure. And the Christian's foundation is sure. Turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 19. I spoke just a moment ago about basing your life on Jesus. You and I need to ground our lives on Jesus, and our children and our grandchildren need to ground their lives on Jesus. And Paul writes in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 19, howbeit the firm foundation of God stands, having this seal. Some versions say the sure foundation of God, the firm foundation of God stands having this seal. The Lord knows them that are his, and let everyone that names the name of the Lord depart from unrighteousness. When you're built on Jesus, and I mentioned Luke 6:48, when we do the work to dig deep, you gotta get off the topsoil. You've got to scrape all that off, get all of that off, and get on down deep. Do the work. That's involved in Bible study. That's involved in being here and worshiping the Lord. And we're doing the work to get on down there and get deep. Our 2 feet will be planted on the foundation, and it is firm and sure. Jesus is the rock that we are to plant our lives on, Peter says in 1 Peter 2:6. But I want you to turn back with me for an encouraging word from Isaiah chapter 28. I hope this will encourage us this morning. Peter quotes Isaiah 28 and verse 16 with regard to Jesus being the rock that is laid in Zion that we are to build our lives on. But I want you to turn back to Isaiah chapter 28 and verse 16 to see how important this is. In Isaiah chapter 28, and verse 16. This is an encouragement to Israel to come and place their life in God and believe in God and follow God, not the idols and the worldly things around them. Isaiah 28:16. Therefore, thus says the Lord Jehovah, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone. This is what Peter quotes in 1 Peter 2 and 6 and applies it to Jesus. And the church is built on Jesus. Our lives are to be built on Jesus. But look at how this stone is described. A tried stone. Tested and shown to be true. Number two, a precious stone. Number three, a cornerstone. This is the stone that's at the corner of the building from which everything begins and starts. And a sure foundation. But here's the part of the verse that I want to talk about. When a person will build their lives on God and Jesus, look at the last part of the verse. He that believes. Believes what? That God is planting this stone. And Peter says it's Christ. The person who believes this, look at this, shall not be in haste. Your version might say, shall not be disturbed. The Hebrew word here talks about moving around. The American Standard says in haste, moving around at like the speed of something moving. Some versions talk about distraction, disturbance. You will not be disturbed in life if you're built on the stone of Jesus. You will not be in haste. You're not going to be running around, bothered, disturbed, divided, distracted. Read that verse and you underscore that in your Bible. You believe on Him, you will not be in haste. And that's what we find in life today. People running around, they don't know up from down. They don't know where to get help. They're disturbed. They're disturbed. And God says, here's the solution for that. It's a great passage. And Jesus is a stone. He's tried and tested. Number three, He's precious. Number four, He's a corner. He should start everything in our life, and He is sure. And when you believe on Him, you're not going to be disturbed in your life. Let's build our lives on Jesus. The Christian's hope is sure. In Hebrews chapter 6, and verse 19, the hope of heaven is not going anywhere. The Hebrew writer speaking to Christians who are in danger of falling away from Christ and literally throwing it away. Throw it away. Throw away all of our Christian life. Throw away forgiveness of sins. Throw away the hope of heaven. Why would you do that? The Hebrew writer says, don't do that. Don't throw it all away. And the Hebrew writer says in chapter 6 and verse 19, after talking about the hope set before us, that's the one hope. Ephesians 4:4 and following. The one hope of heaven. This hope is set before us, which we have, this hope, which we have as an anchor of the soul. A hope both sure and steadfast. And I love this because it's not just sure, it's sure and steadfast. One word would be enough. We need an anchor, just like we need a foundation. We need an anchor in life. Our children need an anchor. Our grandchildren need an anchor to hold them down, to spiritually hold them down. And I appreciate our parents here this morning. The parents who are bringing the little children, what are they doing? They're trying to give their child a foundation later when they're a teenager and they need it. They're trying to give their children an anchor later when they need it as a teenager. I appreciate our parents who bring their children. Boy, this is a rough society. It's like a boat out on a rough storm. And we've got to have that anchor that I'm going to go to heaven. I want to go to heaven. I want to live faithfully. I want to serve God. And what is the reason why it is sure? Because it comes from God who cannot lie. That by two immutable things, verse 18, in which it is impossible for God to lie, we may have a strong encouragement who have fled for refuge to lay hold of the hope that is set before us. God has never once lied. Ever. What's the devil known for? Genesis 3. How did he describe the devil? John 8. He's a liar from the beginning. God never lies. In fact, Titus 2:1, he cannot. It is not in his nature to lie. He cannot lie, Paul said. What a beautiful thing that is to have a sure God whose character is such that He cannot lie. And we have this strong encouragement. And the writer of Hebrews is saying, please don't throw away Christ. Don't throw away your Christianity and apostatize and fall away. We have, and then what's the second reason? Number one, God cannot lie. And here's the second reason. Verse 19 and verse 20. Jesus has gone as a forerunner, has entered in for us. Jesus has already gone there into heaven, ascended back into heaven, and He's there waiting on us. Let's remain faithful to Him. The Christian's calling is sure. Well, I don't know if I'm going to go to heaven or not. I don't know if I'm good enough or not. I don't know if I can live faithful or not. Turn with me to 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 10. I don't know if God's demands are too much. I hear that from time to time, even from a member of the church. I just wonder if His demands are too much. His bar is too high. There's just so much I'm supposed to be doing, and I don't think I can do it all. We do need to grow. We need to get better. We need to add to our faith. But look at 2 Peter 1:10. Wherefore, brethren, give the more diligence to make your calling and election sure. You have been called to be a Christian through the gospel. You have been elected to be saved by your obedience to the gospel. Make it sure, Peter said. Make it sure, certain, secure. How? How, Peter? Read the next part of the verse. For if you do these things, what things? The things that are discussed starting back in verse 5, where you add to your faith knowledge. There's your Bible study. Okay, you add to your faith virtue and knowledge and self-control and patience and godliness and brotherly kindness and love. If you do these things, you shall never stumble. Do you believe that promise? Do you believe that? Do you believe that your calling and election is sure? Peter says, yes, if you do these things. So, make a list again of verses 5 through 8. Those, what we call Christian graces. And Peter says, if you're doing those things, your calling and your election is sure and you will never stumble. What a great encouragement that is. What happens if we don't do those things? Well, then, of course, it's not sure and we can stumble. Verse 11, for thus shall be richly supplied unto you the entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. What help do we have? Go back to verse 3, seeing that God has given us His divine power, has granted unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. You do your part. God will give us His power. And I like how Peter uses power in both 1 and 2 Peter. Back in 1 Peter 1:5, we are guarded by God's power. Here, by God's power, we are given all things that pertain unto life and godliness. God's power and us doing those Christian graces, we make our calling and election sure. And then last of all, and we'll close this morning, the Christian's reward is sure. The home in heaven that God has promised for all the faithful is sure. In Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 18. Proverbs 11:18, the wicked earns deceitful wages, but he that sows righteousness has a sure reward. What a great thing to know that the reward of the righteous is sure. It's fixed. It is certain. And it's because we're going to stand before a righteous God one day. And because God is righteous, He must give the reward to those who are righteous. He is just and fair. He's the righteous judge of all the earth. Psalm 96:13. And the Lord, the righteous judge, 2 Timothy 4:8, will give the crown of righteousness to all who love Him. We serve a righteous God. So when He tells us that if you live righteously, you'll get a reward, it is a sure reward. We don't have to doubt that, brethren. We don't have to wonder about that. It will come because the reward is sure because of the righteous God whom we serve. Have you ever done something and you thought you were going to be rewarded for it and it didn't come? It wasn't given to you and you were disappointed. That's not going to be the case with heaven. We're going to stand and sing this song of encouragement. I like how well it goes with the lesson. I know that my Redeemer lives. We're talking about sure things this morning. In life, there may be a number of uncertain things, but there are some sure things that we can build our life on. And let's go out and do that this week. If we can help you and assist you in some way in responding to the gospel, why won't you come as we stand?